Weinemoine, it's been so long since I've seen you. Come on in, sit by the fire, have a drink. Tell me your news. Oh, Ilmarinen, do I have news for you? I nearly died. That minstrel, Jokahainen, he shot at me with his arrow and killed my elk and left me to die in the water. But lucky for me, an eagle came and rescued me and flew me all the way to Bohjala. And there, Mistress Lohi, she took good care of me and sent me home on her own sleigh. But that's not the whole story. Then drink up and tell me the rest. I have seen Mistress Lohi's daughter. And, oh, such beauty, such gentleness. Oh, and, oh, from her temples shine the moonlight, from her breast the sun is shining. And her mother is willing to part with this jewel to give her in marriage to the man who can forge her a sample. From the tips of white swan's feathers, from the milk of a young heifer, from a single grain of barley, from the wool of sheep of summer. Well, I thought of you right away, Ilmarinen. Nobody else has the skill. If anyone can perform the task, it is you, Ilmarinen. Now, what do you say, my friend? I say this, Wainamoinen, that I think this sample was the price of your return. I think that you pledged my freedom in order to gain your own. And though this maid be as lovely and as gentle as I find it hard to believe her to be, I will not put my head in a noose that you and Mistress Lohi have set for me. Oh, Ilmarinen, but if you just saw her, if I had the skill, I would do it myself. I tell you, a man with his head in such a noose would die content. Not I. When I need a bride, I will find one closer to home. Oh, very well then, Ilmarinen. We'll speak of it no more. Let me tell you instead of another wonder I have seen. But perhaps you know of it already. There's a pine tree over by the border of Osmo's field. It is so tall that the moon is lodged in its branches. The great bear shines among its leaves. Over by Osmo's field? Yeah, just at the border. Oh, Wainamoinen, that's a traveler's tale, and I'd be a fool to believe you without seeing it for myself. Then let us go together. Now, Lohi's horses were swift, and it wasn't long until Ilmarinen saw for himself the truth of Wainamoinen's tale. Oh, it is as you say, Wainamoinen. Yes, it is. But is it enough just to see it? Why don't you climb the tree, Ilmarinen, and bring down the moon? Why not make yourself master of the great bear? Why not indeed, thought Ilmarinen. And he began to climb the tree. And as he climbed, the tree whispered, "You fool, you a man to think that you can take the moon in your arms, that you can hang the stars about your neck." But Ilmarinen kept climbing. And then Wainamoinen raised his voice, and he sang a tempest blowing from the south. It whirled and roared, and it lifted the tree right up into the sky. "Here in this tree is my friend Ilmarinen the smith," cried Wainamoinen. "I conjure you, wind, to carry him safely to Bohjala." And the wind heard. And before Wainamoinen had finished speaking, the tree was up and away, and it was no more than a rumble in the distance where the stars spin. And Ilmarinen's cry of anger that his friend had tricked him, it was lost long before it reached the earth. Now, Mistress Lohe, she was a mistress of magic, but for the most part, she lived a simple life of a peasant woman. And one day she went out into her yard to collect wood for the fire, and there he was. And the dogs that should be guarding her house were fawning at his feet. "I see, Mistress Lohe, that you're welcome strangers to your house. Your dogs think it no barking matter that a man should fall out of a tree in the sky." She looked up to see the tree whirling away. "If you had come like a mortal man, they would have been at your throat before you'd stepped across the gate. But what kind of hero are you that rides the storm just like a sleigh?" "Wainamoinen sent me." "Oh, Ilmarinen." Then she hurried back to the house and she called to her daughter. She said, "Come, the craftsman who is going to forge the sample is here." And then the lovely maid of Bohjala, famed on land, on water, peerless, she took the choicest of her dresses, the brightest of her garments, and at last the fifth selected. Then her headdress she adjusted, and her copper belt girth round her, and her wondrous golden girdle. Then back she came from out the storeroom, dancing out into the courtyard, and her eyes were brightly shining as she moved. Her earrings jingled, and oh, her countenance was charming. Gold was shining from her bosom, on her head was silver gleaming. Ilmarinen, oh, he couldn't believe his eyes. He immediately forgave Wainamoinen his treachery. "This is my daughter, Ilmarinen. Will you forge me the sample and take her as your reward?" "Yes, I will forge you the sample." Now, for 3 days, Ilmarinen walked the icy fields of Bohjala, trying to find somewhere to set up the forge. And at last he found it. It was a stony hollow in the land with a great rock at its center, a rock with many colors. "This is the place," he said, "and this rock will be my anvil." Then behind the rock, he built the furnace walls, and he laid down stones that could withstand the heat of the fire. Then he stacked the wood nearby, and he began the fire. And Lohi's servants came and worked at bellows. And when the fire was burning with a white glow at its center, he took the feathers, the barley, the milk, and the wool, and he placed them into the center of the fire. "It is a sample I am making," he said, and he put all other thoughts from his head. And then he watched and he waited. And on the evening of that first day, a crossbow rose up out of the flames. 'Twas a gold bow, tipped with silver, and the shaft shone bright with copper. And though it was lovely to gaze on, it was of evil disposition. Ilmarinen knew that it would demand heads. He broke it in two and put it back into the fire. And on the second day, a red boat rose up with a golden prow and rowlocks of copper. And on the third day, a young cow with golden horns and the sun disk on her brow. And on the fourth day, a plow wrought with gold and silver. But Ilmarinen took no pleasure in any of these things, for he knew that when the boat crossed water, there would be needless battle, and he could see that the cow was an idle and destructive beast. And the plough, as soon as it cooled, it began to plough up cornfields and meadows alike. He destroyed all of them and threw them back into the fire. And on the fifth morning, he sent Louhi's servants away, and he called on the wind to work the bellows. And the wind rose in a fury. It blew from the east and the west and the south more stronger, and the north it roared the loudest. Oh, fire was shooting through the windows. Sparks were flying through the doorways. Ashes rising to the heavens. Dark smoke mingling with the clouds. The evening of the third day, Ilmarinen looked deep into the heart of the fire, and he saw the sample forming with its colored cover. Quickly, he lifted it out with his long-handled tongs, and he placed it on the anvil. And he turned it this way and that way, hammering it into the shape he had in his mind, a corn mill on one side, a salt mill on the other, and on the third, a coin mill. And right away it began to grind out corn, salt, and golden coins until a chest was filled with each, and then another and another. Oh, Mistress Louhi gave a wild cry of delight. Now she had power indeed, for she alone among the ancient ones possessed the sample, the secret of eternal plenty that all men crave, the secret that begets war and envy, malice and ambition. And of its kind, there is one only in the whole of time, and once destroyed, it can never be made again. Therefore, it had to be hidden away in a safe place. Mistress Louhi took it, and she went deep into the hills of Bohjala, and it was secured behind 9 locks. And there in the earth, it put down roots as though it were a living thing. And there it continued to grind out corn, salt, and golden money. And Ilmarinen rested. And when the old woman came back, he said, "Now I have forged you the sample. Give me my reward." "There she is, if she is willing." But when Ilmarinen went to the maiden, she burst into tears. "Would you be so cruel as to take me away from my home where I have been so happy? I would make you happy. And this was part of my bargain with your mother." "Ah, yes, you made a bargain with my mother. But what about me? I am not ready to be a bride yet. If I leave, the cuckoo won't sing and the bushes won't bear fruit." "Well, this is not what your mother told me." "Never mind what my mother told you. What I'm telling you is the truth. But if it's my mother's truth you want, why don't you take her as part of the bargain and leave me where I belong?" "Ah, you must be patient with her, Ilmarinen. Why don't you wait till the spring? I'll go now, whether you keep your part of the bargain or not." But then he turned, looked helpless, for he did not know how to leave Bohjala. The old woman laughed at him. "First your friend tricked you, and now you don't know how to get home. Will I conjure up a tree for you to climb, Ilmarinen? No, I'll do better than that. I'll give you my boat with a copper paddle and a good wind to carry you home. And what will you say about me? Will you say that I tricked you or played you false?" "No, I will say nothing," said Ilmarinen, "for it's a story against myself, that I was fooled by an old woman and her beautiful, heartless daughter." Thus it was Smith Ilmarinen, he the great primeval craftsman, journeyed homeward to his country o'er the blue sea's watery surface, the sea voyage one day a second, and at length upon the third day, reach the smithy's home in safety, in the land where he was nurtured. And when he got home, there was Wainamoinen to greet him. And when he told Wainamoinen the whole story of what had happened to him, old Wainamoinen was very sympathetic and comforted him and told him, well, sure, there's many young brides, many beautiful young women here would be happy to be your bride. But secretly, Wainamoinen was delighted, for he thought, maybe I might have a chance with the Maid of the North now, if only I could get that boat to bring me back to the North Country.